The following program contains swearing right from the fucking start.
Hello and welcome back to We Don't Do Stuff. I'm Sunny Dapp.
And I'm Jazz, and this is our podcast about stuff we don't do, but we will eventually.
So Jazz, what have we missed in Birmingham this week?
Got about four things which we missed, which I thought looked kind of interesting.
Okay.
There seem to be more theatre shows and concerts that we've missed.
Okay.
But do you think it's because it's that time of year?
When everyone just wants to be indoors.
Theatre show and concert season.
Okay.
All month.
All month.
I think it's like coming towards the end of half term, isn't it?
I think it's the end of summer.
Over, isn't it? Keep saying half term. Okay, so one of the things that we missed was... So there's three theatre shows that we've missed. So one was called The Comedy About a Bank Robbery.
Yeah.
And I think it's like a West End show that came to Birmingham. And it's a multi-award-winning comedy. Oh, wait, sorry. It's by the people who made a multi-award-winning comedy, The Play That Goes Wrong.
Mm.
And it's the same company that's returned.
So is it Mischief?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah, Mischief Theatre. It's meant to be awesome. Like, we definitely got to go and...
Hmm.
Is it still on?
No.
Oh, bollocks.
That's why it's called We Don't Do Stuff. You, like, completely missed it, mate. But okay, so it's basically a priceless diamond has been entrusted to the City Bank.
Yeah.
An institute so corrupt that even the security guards are on the take. And can it be stored or will it go horribly wrong? I got a feeling it goes horribly wrong.
But it's meant to be... both of the plays that I know of are meant to be like seller hits. Hilarious as well.
Yeah.
And I think next time they're in Birmingham, we're definitely going to go and watch them. Definitely need to go and watch them. But yeah, what was the other thing we missed?
It literally says, don't miss the smash and grab hit comedy that's guaranteed to deliver swag, loads of laughter. And book now. It would be criminal to miss it.
We definitely
missed it, yeah. But I was looking at some of the reviews and somebody gave it a review of, you can't help but laugh like a drain. Is that like some kind of slang that we're missing?
You can't help but laugh like a drain.
Yeah.
What shit is that, man?
That's from the Radio Bloody Times, mate.
It's not the same, man. Like, these people running these media sources, man, they're outdated, man.
Hmm.
Can't help but laugh like a drain.
That's stupid.
Never heard of that.
Anyway, the other one says, the funniest show in the West End. That's the kind of review you want.
Yeah.
Something you can understand.
I know.
And you can relate to. Anyway, so we missed that. The other thing that we missed was another show, which is called... The Taj, excuse me, saying it like I'm British Asian, the Taj Express, or the Taj Express.
Yeah.
Which is I think it's by the people that did Merchants of Bollywood, which was a dance show, wasn't it?
Okay.
So it's basically, it was choreographed dancing by the people who brought on Merchants of Bollywood. And is by music by an Oscar-winning musician called A.R.R. Rahman, who was the composer of Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
Have you watched that film?
I haven't seen it, you know.
You haven't seen the film?
No, I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, you know.
Have you not?
No.
I thought you went to watch it.
Did I went to go and watch it?
I'm sure you did go and watch it, man. I ain't seen it. But A.R.R. Rahman is a wicked composer. Like, he doesn't... Like, he's, like, one of the best composers. He doesn't even need that Oscar.
I've literally no recollection of ever watching
Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire. But what I did watch was The Merchants of Bollywood.
Yeah, I remember watching
that.
That
was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We went to watch that.
That was cool.
Up north in Bradford.
Yeah.
So basically, that the Taj Express is actually still on. And it ends on Saturday the 15th of September. So we potentially could go and watch that.
Yeah, but...
But you don't think we're going to?
No, I ain't really feeling it.
Are you not?
Nah. Plus, I don't think I'm going to be here, isn't it? So,
maybe.
I might go to London.
Okay,
so,
cool.
So, yeah.
So, anyway, that looks pretty interesting. It's about 12 quid, and it's still worth checking out.
It looks bald, man.
Does it really?
Yeah, because I've seen some things come up on my Facebook, because obviously Facebook knows you're brown.
Yeah.
Without even you identifying that you're brown on Facebook. So
look, man, let me hype this up for you.
Yeah.
It's rhythmically blending. I think I messed the first word up. It's rhythmically blending explosive dancing with the hits of India's most iconic composers. and the Taj Express is brought to life by the stars of Bollywood cinema and its greatest musicians live on stage. No.
Nah. I'm just probably in a funny mood, but I ain't feeling that. What else do we miss? I'm happy I missed that.
You don't seem like you're in a happy mood at all today.
Yeah, I told you I'm not feeling well in it. What else do we miss?
I feel like I have to get a move on quickly now.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other thing that we missed was, have you heard of Guru Randhawa?
No, but I've heard of this concert.
Okay, so he's a Punjabi singer.
Yeah.
From India, who is quite popular, I would say. And he came to the arena in Birmingham, and he had a concert.
Okay.
In Birmingham, which some of our friends went to watch. So, yeah.
Was it, I think quite a few people I went to see, they said, this one person like that I was chatting to said he went to watch the show. They said they basically liked the fact like he had quite a lot of support acts on.
Yeah.
That were like, okay. And then he came on, but he didn't come on for too long.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, everyone said it was okay.
I think it depends on the people who are putting the show on.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's only had like hits since like 2017. So he's quite new.
That's pretty decent though, isn't it? So yeah, it's so quite new and he's come out and he's like smashing it. Fair enough, yeah.
So, if you want to check his songs out.
Yeah.
There's one called Suit Suit.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know that yeah. song. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know he done it. Okay.
Yeah, so Suit Suit is good.
Yeah.
And this other one called High Rated Gabru.
Oh, okay. I think I heard that as well.
Yeah, so you should definitely check that out. He's probably got, you probably heard some of the other ones.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's the thing. I got to a point now with music where I don't know who's done it. Yeah. But I just recognize the song. And I used to laugh at people who are old and they used to be like, I don't know who this song is by, but he goes like this. I'm thinking, well, how come you don't know your music? Now I've become that person.
Exactly, yeah. So he's had some pretty good hits, to be fair.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we missed him. Yeah. So I think I kind of wanted to go and watch it, but we didn't because we were busy. What else have we missed? We also missed a birthday party.
Who's?
It was your favourite man, Matthew Bolton.
Oh, man. I went to his house, though.
Yeah. So, basically, this week was Matthew Bolton's 290th birthday. And you could have gone to Soho House Museum. Is that where you went?
Yeah, yeah.
And you could have checked out the celebrations for his birthday. And explored the house that Matthew Bolton lived in for half of his life and where he achieved his most notable milestones during his long successful life.
Yeah, that's cool, you know. Have you been there before?
I haven't, you know.
Did you not even go with school like, back in the day?
No.
I don't think I went with school either, but I definitely recommend checking it out, man. If you're ever in Birmingham, check out Matthew Bolton's house.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. So
okay, so that's all the stuff.
Some pretty cool things, isn't it?
I thought was interesting. Fair enough, yeah. I think we missed. So what have we been up to? No, wait there. We had a little new section, didn't we?
Oh, what's happening on social media?
On social media, yeah.
We should give that a better name, don't it? Rather than what's happening on social media. Because a lot of things happening on social media. What?
Okay. No, it wasn't called what's happening on social media.
What was it called?
It's called social media, what's trending.
That's still long, though.
And
but anyway.
The what's got a Z in there.
Okay.
And the social media has also got an S in there somewhere.
Filled with random
social media.
Okay, so what's happening on social media?
So this seemed quite interesting.
Yeah.
So basically, there was a plus size model called Tess Halliday.
Yeah.
And Sunny's looking over at my prop.
Yeah.
Because I managed to get hold of the magazine.
Okay.
So basically, there's a plus-size model called Tess Halliday who appeared on the front of a Cosmopolitan magazine, which is the number one women's magazine.
Self-proclaimed.
Apparently. Self-proclaimed, probably.
Has to be on it.
I think they've also specified the number one women's glossy magazine.
Mm.
So you could, like, literally print a matte version of it
and
say the number one women's matte
magazine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you could do like black and white.
You could do, man. You could, okay.
And
so
you
Karen.
Could self-proclaim it. Anyway, that wasn't the point. So basically, what was trending on social media was that the reason it kicked up a storm was because the plus-size model featured on this women's magazine.
Yeah.
And people were saying that, why have you put a 300 pound
woman or woman. Model.
She's a model.
Yeah,
she's so a model. Like, you know, yeah. She's got she comes under supermodel modeling agency that she's yeah. represented by. But they're saying that why was she put on this magazine?
Mm.
And she should have been put on there because it's promoting obesity
mm.
and glorifying it. What are your views on that?
Okay, discuss.
Yeah.
So, okay, so for a long time, the industry, every industry that we, from magazines to TV and film, still is promoting unrealistic, unattainable body standards.
Yeah.
So we're going from the extreme of, you know, really skinny.
Size zero.
Or even for, and this is happening for both men and women now, where we've seen unattainable bodily shapes and figures. And that's, so now, that's for many years has been having an effect on people.
Yeah.
And even though in the media, we still have these body images of air quotes, the perfect male and female shapes, obesity has still been raising.
Yeah.
Levels of obesity have still been rising. So I don't think putting this model Tess Holliday on this cover is promoting obesity. In fact, if anything, it's saying to people, look, you know, you're okay to be comfortable in the body you are. Now, obviously, there's a difference now between being comfortable in the body you are and making sure that you're healthy as well. And that's,
were we not talking about this last week?
We were, yeah, because we weren't about that. You got to be your healthiest version of yourself.
What was it in relationship to? I can't remember.
I can't remember, but this is a thing. So, you know, I think it's, what I think about this is that I think it's, yeah, fair play. Because the thing is, Cosmopolitan has always just shown one side of women.
Yeah.
And it's always been, you know, European looks. If you're white, you're pretty, you're beautiful. That's it,
yeah.
Skinny. Yet, there's so many people out there that look completely different.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, this model's on an hour test holiday and she's doing something different.
Okay, so basically,
yeah,
I personally think that when they put on someone like this,
yeah,
or when they put on anyone who's unusual, they're doing it for reactions, basically.
Of course, yeah.
So I think that the whole thing is just a publicity stunt.
Oh, straight up, yeah.
Yeah, and they just did it for reactions and just got it so people talk about their magazine. And I personally think that's why the magazine's done it. I don't think that's why Tess Holliday's done it.
Of course, yeah.
I think she's obviously been trying to get into the industry and change the way that people perceive plus size models. But at the same time, when you do read the article, because I did read the article, I didn't just
look at the picture.
Do what social media did and just looked at the pictures. Like, she does talk about her struggles with her weight and how she was treated and, like, you know, just the psychological impact that her weight had on her life. And so, you know, like, I haven't read it all, but there were some bits in there which, like, I think she's from America.
Yeah.
But there were some bits in there where she was talking about her life and how she, like, when their family was growing up and whatever, she was saying that they just had, like, a bit of a secluded life. Where, not secluded, but it was inactive, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A sedative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was quite interesting. But what social media was saying was, don't put this woman on there. It's promoting obesity, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is, because, like you were saying, that they've had, like, fitness models on these magazines for years.
Yeah.
And if people were that subjected to looking at these magazine covers and being that influenced, people wouldn't be obese.
Absolutely. Yeah,
everybody would be slim and toned, but they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing as well is, like, when you're bombarded with images of, once again, air quotes, perfect specimens of people, you know, that people, the general public, begin to feel like shit about themselves. They, you know, they don't feel confident, or they feel that, you know, there's something wrong with us. And that has the psychological, mental health impact of that could be far worse, and is far worse than putting someone who's normal on a magazine cover and just saying to people, look, you know what, it's fine, you know, we are different shapes and we are different body sizes,
yeah,
but along
so you think it's okay to have the woman
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I'm thinking it's okay. Obviously, you know, she has a person in the article. I haven't read it, but she probably does probably mention that, you know, it's been a struggle in terms of maintaining.
I think there's
to be healthy.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things like for me, like the way that I feel about it. Firstly, I don't read this magazine. I wouldn't normally look at this magazine.
Yeah.
And I'm not influenced by anything that's in this magazine. You know, most of this is just sensationalized stories.
Yeah, yeah. And the other,
and you know, like it's just
it's not really targeted towards a seat, though. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's not really targeted.
Yeah.
I mean,
if they think that their readers would appreciate this, and it gives people body confidence, and like you know, like it makes people feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
Then just carry on, put it on there, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you think about like magazines and media and all this kind of stuff, a lot of the time, the reason that they have people, I'm talking anybody, not just like physique and models or anything like that. They normally put somebody on the front cover of a magazine if they've achieved something.
Yeah.
So it's like an achievement that they've achieved something or they've done something.
Is it aspirational?
Yeah.
For the reader.
Yeah. So what this is essentially saying is that like what has this person achieved?
Mm.
And when you read the article, you can see why she's what she's achieved basically. Yeah. So she's not on the magazine front cover because she's
a plus size model. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you can see that things that she's been trying to work towards and what she's achieved for people who are underrepresented in the media.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So like it's literally like, is it good? Is it bad? Obviously, that's why there's a debate on social media.
Absolutely.
Oh, should we move on to our next topic?
Yeah, I mean that was the review of a woman's magazine
that we
by
never
two men by two men. And who's best to
do
talk
you think
about?
That this magazine's aimed at white women and it's been reviewed by two Asian men?
First of all, yes it is,
because when this happens in the reverse where two white men will review or comment on a woman of colour. Do you know what I mean? Like nobody.
No, this is full on. Just like, I'm looking through like seven pages in, and it's all adverts. This is a welcome to the magazine review, where we do an audio review of a magazine.
Of a magazine.
Okay, look, but it straight up is, and then afterwards you get so far into, then you start seeing women of color. But so far it's all been slim and beautiful.
But you know, I was looking
through. Sells.
Yeah, but I mean, these kind of magazines, they're always promoting these random weight loss.
But it's always bald as well. Like these, you know, I'll speak to a personal trainer, and they were saying that they're always promoting these lose weight in 4 weeks. That stuff doesn't work.
Yeah,
like
it doesn't work.
Your body needs more than 4 weeks to feel any effect. But anyway, Karen.
Okay, so our next topic, Nike.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you call it Nike or do you call it Nike?
I think only dickheads call it Nike.
But it's actually pronounced Nike.
Dickheads.
So throughout this podcast, I'm going to call it Nike, and I don't care if people call it Nike,
because
I've always called it that.
We've always called it Nike.
Yeah. Do you think that's a UK US thing?
It has to be, man.
Okay, so it's Nike.
Because think about it, Nike. Any other the only other time, like obviously locality wise, all our friends are going to call it Nike. Yeah. But then even like people that we haven't met, so for example, when it's referencing music, you know, in London, like, you know, from the grime scene, people call it Nike. No one ever says Nike in it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be called a dickhead. So yeah, we're calling it Nike.
Okay.
So what going with Nike?
Okay, so basically what Nike did was this, we really should like read up on what's going on, you know, before we
start
talking about it. So basically Nike had a anniversary adverts.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. So it must have been either like some kind of iconic time period where or something where they decided to use sports people to promote whatever they were doing,
yeah,
as companies do, right?
Yeah.
So they must have used a football player.
Yeah.
I'm like totally guessing all this stuff now. NFL player, American football player,
yeah,
to promote something.
Okay.
And the dude's name was Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah,
like
I was gonna, you know, when you were chatting about it, I thought you would have read about
I had all the facts.
Yeah.
So the dude's called Colin Kaepernick or whatever, and I think that he basically was an NFL player, and he didn't
Yeah, so ex-NFL player.
Yeah, when the American anthem used to be played, like he didn't stand up for the anthem and he took a knee.
Yeah, took a knee, yeah.
And that was in protest of the police shooting young black
Americans. Yeah.
And is it part of Black Lives Matter? I don't even know, you know.
We're going to find out now, but I think...
Yeah. Anyway, let's just go with that. It kind of sounds right, doesn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Did I get the guy's name right, at least?
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick. I can't pronounce it, but yeah.
So anyway, so this dude, yeah. So anyway, Nike used this guy, and he's hated by the racist...
Straight up.
Americans?
The racist...
So the racist Americans hate this dude because he took a knee off.
Yeah.
When the anthem was being played. So anyway, man, that was complicated to explain. It would have just been easier if I just read up on it.
But that's good though. You hit most of it.
Yeah.
You hit most of the facts, man. Yeah.
Okay, so because Nike used this dude,
yeah,
that these people don't like, these Americans who are essentially Trump supporters,
yeah, essentially racist and Nazis and Trump supporters.
Yeah. So they basically wanted to boycott Nike, and what they did was they decided to, rather than to just give up all their Nike clothes, I was going to call it apparel, is that what it's called?
Nike apparel, I don't know. Nike clothes?
Their Nike clothes. Yeah. So they were going to give up all their Nike clothes.
Now it sounds like up all their Nike clothes. Their long t-shirts that got like little bunnies on it.
Okay, so
bunch of snowflakes.
In protest of Nike using this dude's picture, the people decided that they were going to burn all their Nike clothes.
Which is stupid, eh?
Yeah.
They are literally ripping the shirt off their own back.
Yeah, and burning it.
And to show how angry they are.
Yeah, so they've already paid for the product.
Yeah.
And
it's theirs.
Nike doesn't actually lose out any money because they've done that.
Yeah.
Because they've still...
They've already bought the product.
And I think the absolutely funniest one was that some dude decided that he was going to burn his Nike trainers.
Yeah.
I almost said Nike, you know. Anyway, he decided he was going to burn his Nike trainers.
Yeah.
While wearing them. And the dude ended up having like third degree burns on his foot. On both of his feet. And ended up in hospital. That was trending on social media. That was absolutely hilarious.
What an idiot.
What an idiot, innit?
Yeah. I mean, obviously he's an idiot. Because first of all, he's trying to...
But the thing is that if you are protesting a company, you don't buy their product.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the people who bought them, who were burning their products, they're not Nike's usual customers anyway.
Yeah. They just
like those people are the people who buy Nike clothes on discount when it's in like when it's 2-3 seasons out.
Yeah.
And they get like their £30 shoes from the disc, like from Sports Direct essentially, don't they?
Yeah. I was gonna say like some sort of outlets, and that's what it is, isn't it?
So, but basically, yeah, think about it like this year, that who buys Nike clothes without being racist?
Well, it's generally the young people.
So young people buy Nike clothes, yeah?
Yeah.
And what Nike has done is that they literally are supporting somebody who's taking a stand and standing up they took a stand and they used somebody who's standing up to things that matter to young people,
yeah,
and that's for like, you know, like people's lives and all the rest of it. So Nike has literally, I reckon that they obviously, it was a marketing campaign, that's why they used the guy,
yeah,
but they've literally switched it like this year. Think about it like this: they've now bought into the hearts and minds of the young people who might have been using other brands or buying other clothes, but Nike's investments by young people shot up. So the number of people who were young investors invested more money in Nike
because
they see it as an ethical company.
Yeah, I think that's what these massive companies are doing now. Yeah. They have to become ethically and environmentally aware of the situation.
Yeah. So for the next 30 to 50 years, who's going to be Nike's customers? The old people who are burning their shoes while wearing them.
Nah, they're going to be
dead. Or the 20, 30 year old investors
who
have invested in the company.
Yeah.
and they're the ones that are going to be buying and
yeah.
their clothes, and they've brought their shares, and like, you know, the company shut up, so they've literally secured their place in the market
demographic
for the next
yeah.
30 or 40 years,
and all the
which is probably what they were trying to do
yeah.
and what you try to do when you use a celebrity's picture, isn't it?
Absolutely yeah,
yeah.
And
so I think that was a pretty
and align yourself with the movement as well, so,
exactly
yeah.
Yeah.
absolutely. So
so if you think that was a mistake, or the people who that they pissed off, that I reckon it's done intentionally,
of course,
to piss off the people
yeah.
to get the people who believe in their product
yeah,
because even I felt like buying some more Nike products because
yeah because
it reminded me of their products. I thought, you know what, this stuff used to be good, we haven't bought anything from like them for ages or whatever.
That's true, you know, we
yeah.
haven't
yeah because we're those 60 70 year old guys who buy the stuff at discount.
edit.
But you know what I mean, though,
yeah.
isn't it? Like, it just reminds you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, another thing. Do you watch tennis?
I know of it.
Okay, so I don't watch tennis.
Yeah.
And this is where social media just kicks in with everything. So, did you hear about the whole Serena Williams
yeah.
situation?
So, Serena Williams was wearing a cat suit?
No.
No.
How old are you, man? This is last week.
That's last week. Okay, update me. What did I miss on tennis
about Serena Williams? Okay, so basically, yeah, what is it called? Is it called the U.S. Open?
Probably, isn't it?
I got
no idea.
It's a tournament.
Man.
So
yeah.
the tournament, I think, is called the U.S. Open, and basically, if you haven't realized, we've made no show notes.
If you haven't realized, we also don't know nothing about sports. But carry on.
So. The US Open
yeah.
is a tennis tournament, I believe. Yeah. So this is what I've gathered from reading a handful of tweets.
Okay.
Okay, so Serena Williams was taking part in this tournament, and
yeah.
I think it was the finals.
Yeah.
And so she was playing somebody else. I want to say Osaka, but...
So she was playing tennis with someone else, of course.
Yeah. So she was playing someone else.
That checks out.
And basically, during the game, the umpire, man, I can't believe I got that right. I was about to say referee, you know.
He
is called the umpire,
okay,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I think I heard, okay, it's sounding familiar, Karen.
Yeah, so the umpire, who's the dude that sits on that really long chair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said to Serena Williams that you are cheating.
Nah.
I think, I can't remember what it's called now. There was a word that they were using for it.
Yeah.
Coaching. So he said that you've been coached, which basically means that, you know, her coach,
yeah,
he's giving you signals and telling you how to play during the match.
Okay.
Yeah. So apparently you're not allowed to do that in tennis.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were watching football,
yeah,
I believe the manager's allowed to shout stuff out.
Yeah, they do.
At the players.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, if you're watching tennis... And your coach is not allowed to give you tips.
Yeah.
And he was saying that your coach is giving you hand signals, and that's why you're changing your game.
Yeah.
So you're cheating. And she got pissed off and said, look, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not cheating.
Yeah.
Like, I'm playing a fair game, so I'm not cheating, so I don't know what you're talking about. So then he gave her a foul.
Yeah.
So she argued back with him, and then she gave him another foul. So he gave her another foul, sorry. And basically, the fouls ended up costing... Serena Williams a match, and the other person won, and this is where Serena Williams was trending on social media.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the other person's name. So anyway, long story short, everybody starts saying that Serena Williams shouldn't have been penalised, and the only reason she was
yeah.
was because the dude who was the umpire was being either racist or sexist.
Yeah.
And he was laying down the law of the land of the game, sorry.
Mm.
Even more, even though male tennis players do a lot worse things and say a lot worse things.
Yeah.
So he basically punished her for shouting back at him.
For sticking up and
yeah.
for, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've seen this, I've seen basically another scenario where a headline reported the Serena Williams situation as Serena Williams meltdown.
Yeah.
And then a white male baseball player arguing to the ref as argues the situation.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
or he contests.
Contesting, yeah. So
yeah.
it's the way it's being portrayed is that.
Yeah.
So
okay, so that was trending all across social media, which is quite
yeah.
interesting. But there was some dude who seems like he's an artist for some KKK magazine.
Yeah.
He's not really. I think people were taking the piss, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think he was like, he published a cartoon in the Herald and Sun, which is like a Brisbane, Australian newspaper.
Okay.
Which might be a racist newspaper, I don't know. So anyway, so he had an article in there. He published a cartoon, sorry, in there, which shows Serena Williams in, you know, those old style cartoons that
Tom and Jerry.
Not Tom and Jerry, before that, you know, when they used to like really make black people
really extenuated features,
yeah.
And okay, a lot,
yeah,
of the
so published like that kind of a article. I keep saying article, man.
Cartoon illustration.
A cartoon illustration.
Yeah.
And
that's fucked up,
everyone's,
man,
saying that's racist.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, how is this racist? But I think it comes back down to that, you know, that white lens thing.
Yeah.
Like when people see it through their own point of view and they can't see.
Yeah.
That why that would be classed as being racist. And it, because it literally means that the, like, everyone who was sticking up for it, like what they're saying is that that's how they see,
yeah,
black women, innit?
Yeah. I was listening to a Blinkist about it's called Slay in Your Lane. And it's written by totally do not remember the names, but it's written by two black women from Britain. And they're just talking about their experiences, and just talking about how, yeah. I mean, I definitely recommend listening to that book, but I'm just gonna just. But yeah, that's messed up, man. So she basically lost the match.
Yeah, she did lose the match.
Because she was arguing a point across.
Hmm.
Well, it's like, I always feel like she's always getting more of a tough break, innit? She's always getting bloody,
yeah,
bullied.
Yeah, there's the cartoon if you're insane.
Yeah, that is totally messed up, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think people are reporting on it now.
Yeah.
And like, they're literally saying that, yeah, we're just mocking the poor behaviour by the dude.
No, but you're literally looking at her features, you know, you really extenuated,
yeah,
them, you made her, you know, it's like everything just.
Yeah. So that other tennis player was called a soccer.
Yeah.
And what they're saying is that she's, even though she's Haitian Japanese.
Yeah.
Descent. Like in the cartoon, they've made her look like a blonde white woman. And I think that's, again, extenuating the fact that it's a black person fighting with a white person, or playing against the white person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that was interesting.
But, you know, this ain't going to, like, because as I said as well, man, like, you know, from that whole cat suit situation to her wearing a tutu, you know, they just seem to be, for some reason, busting her balls, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they got issue with her, but if anything, this is like revealing a lot of things with how tennis is. I mean, racism has existed in sports probably ages and still does exist, because you hear about footballers getting racist slurs chanted at them. And if anything, like, I don't understand why these other people, why these racists that exist in sports can't understand that these athletes exist and they are talented.
I think it's because people justify the racism.
Like,
they justify and say, no, but it's this and it's that, like, whatever. And, you know, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like they think of an excuse and they think of a way around it to make it sound justifiable and acceptable.
Wait, it's not, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Anyway, that's our section done of social media.
Yeah.
What's trending with a Z?
We definitely need to get a better name. So
I think
what
I accidentally deleted that section.
What have you been up to?
The only thing I've been up to is the wedding.
Oh, we're wedding. So what have I been up to? Okay, so I'll talk about my thing and then we'll talk about the wedding. So I went to watch A Day at Henry of Jumprov, the UK's first ethnic diverse improvisational theatre company, in a play which took part in the Coventry Cathedral. And it was, the play's called Meet Me in the Ruins, and the play actually takes place in the ruins of near the Coventry Cathedral.
Okay.
And it was amazing. So
is that the Coventry Cathedral that was bombed during the war?
I think so. I got no idea.
So what ruined it, do you know?
I don't know what ruined it, but I was thinking that perhaps the lack of government funding was going to be one of my things. So it was pretty cool. So it takes place there, and the ruins are amazing as well. Like, if you go to watch it, like, you think to yourself, wow, imagine how this would have looked if it was still intact. Like, just the, you know, just the ruins look amazing, but imagine the whole thing in its full livelihood.
Yeah.
So the play, you told about five stories all through different timelines, and it was stories of where the people were meeting up through the different timelines. They were meeting up at the ruins. And it was pretty cool, man. It was like going from like all the way to like 1947, all the way to 2008, and all in between. Talked about all the history of the people coming through Coventry, the different types of people.
Yeah,
you know, and it was all new writing as well, which is always exciting. So that was cool. Really enjoyed that. And
is that in the city centre?
In the city centre, yeah, literally where we were.
Where we were
on Saturday, and then what else we've been up to, which probably took up. Felt like it took up the whole week, innit?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still recovering from it.
Several days it took.
So,
but I think we won't go into it too much because it was a close family wedding.
True.
But I think it was tough, wasn't it? Doing a close family wedding. So we had to be up at like 6 in the morning.
Yeah, normally you just get invited to a wedding and you just turn up to, like, obviously you turn up to the religious bit and it's okay, and then you go up to the party and then you go home. But it was nice, don't get me wrong, it was nice obviously being part of everything, but it is knackering.
It is tiring, yeah.
And I'm glad that it was close.
Geographically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if it was like...
If you had a long drive.
Yeah, that would have been nuts, man. But no, it was awesome, man. So, what...
Yeah, that was good. I think the highlights for me of the wedding was, obviously, like, our family was there and, like, we had a good time, we had a good laugh.
Yeah.
And I think I was even looking through the pictures and we can see that we had, like, a good time and stuff, which... we normally do anyway, but there was some pictures of like myself that I took in the photo booth.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember taking them. I think I must have been like that drunk.
That was a wicked thing, like, because we the wedding was taken, because we were staying at the hotel where the wedding was taking place. It was like, you could just literally let your head out and just chill out, and there was like nothing about, oh, I have to drive somewhere or get a cab. It was literally like everyone was like partying till 12 at night.
And that the wedding was over in Coombe Abbey,
which was first time I've been there.
Yeah,
so that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was
interesting. I think I saw a different side of Coventry. I've always seen Coventry as like some kind of like industrial, even though Birmingham's known for its industry.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I think that's what people like, even with when like I went to watch Adair's play, and obviously this wedding as well, it's all happened on the same weekend. You're right, you do get to see a different side of the city, and I think it all comes down to the fact that, you know, I think people have the same thing as well. People think about Birmingham about being industrial and whatever, but then you totally miss all the other nice bits until you go and see something like this. But yeah, Coombe Abbey was interesting.
Yeah, it was good. So I think the Coombe Abbey and the grounds and everything were nice, and the venue was good as well. But I think the thing that I enjoyed about the wedding that I found interesting, the thing which I don't normally like, is the photo booth. I think that was quite a good laugh.
Because that was interesting. And I think for me, I just enjoyed just the chill of it, man. Just like getting together with the family and stuff. And also, it was your birthday as well.
Oh, it was my birthday, yeah. So... Yeah, so what did we do? So we went to Special Spices, didn't we, again?
Which is a regular, man.
Easily becoming our regular joint.
I do like it, though.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I do like it.
And we got our cake from...
Cake Box,
which is also our regular place.
Yeah, which now it's just like...
I'm detecting a pattern, you know.
Yeah. Special Spices and Cake Box, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
But that's awesome, man. I'll tell you what I did enjoy, though. You know, after the church ceremony, the wedding, where we all like dressed up really smart.
Yeah.
And we went into a Mackey's.
Yeah.
That was wicked, wasn't it? That was a good call, man.
Yeah.
Because, like, it took ages trying to find the church because it was literally bang in the city centre.
Yeah. And we couldn't find parking or anything. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, the other thing that I didn't, like was, what's going to say? Yeah, my Mackey's got cold because they only had parking for like a couple hours in the city centre, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I ended up going back to get sort my parking out, and then ended up my McDonald's got cold.
Yeah, I know.
So I didn't enjoy it as much as you.
I feel like having a McDonald's now, man. I tell you what I was doing, man. I went to Heavenly Desserts as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was. Have you been there?
I probably haven't.
We should go, man.
But it's
where is it?
It's on.
It's in Moseley, isn't it?
Yeah.
On Lady Paul Road, I think.
Okay, that sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's just kind of like going to Creams around the corner. So I don't... Like, obviously, at one point, Creams didn't exist.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh, we'll go to Emily's Desserts. But then we could just go help Creams. I feel like going there as well now. I think this wedding weekend has basically... Because I got a cold as well.
Is it trashed your healthy...
I think it kind of has, man. It's kind of... Because now it's like, you get a taste for, like, Mackey's and... sweet like thingy, like, yeah, man, but that's it, man.
That's good. I don't think I did much else, to be honest.
Yeah, same here. I didn't do anything else. What are we gonna do?
What we got planned for next week?
I might be going to London, meet a friend.
Okay.
You
gonna go and check anything out? Anything new as per podcast?
And per podcast, might go to a Turkish restaurant.
Okay.
So we're saying might get some Turkish food. Chill out. So I'm gonna go there. I'm just chilling in London for a bit. Just gonna go for a day. And I can't think of anything else. We're gonna watch some films, but you're busy.
We need to. I've kind of am busy, but I'm not busy at the same time. Okay, so I'm going to Akbar's, which is an Indian restaurant, on Wednesday.
Okay, is that tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm also got a birthday party to go to, which is
in Malvern,
evening. So that's my boss's birthday party. What else?
On Friday.
Saturday.
Cool.
And what else? I think that's all I got planned.
We need to go and watch some films, man.
Two things we do. I think Crazy Rich Asians, that one had like good reviews, didn't it?
Yeah, and I think The Predator is out as well, but that didn't have good reviews, but I'm still going to watch it. Yeah, still going to watch The Predator. Yeah.
I think I'm still going to watch it and I'm going to enjoy it as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of them films that like that we will enjoy in it.
Yeah.
But I think
so. We watched the Honest trailer for the original Predator.
Yeah, the first one.
And they were saying that if they showed that at the cinema, people will still go and watch it and enjoy it. And I agree. I think yeah. I would. I think I'd go and watch it and I think I'd like...
I think we watched it recently though. Like
we watched it fairly recently
and it's still good. It's still held up.
Were we watching it recently for... Because we were trying to watch stuff over New Year's.
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so I don't have anything else planned. Emails and tweets?
Outro.
So you can follow us on social media. We don't do stuff. There is going to become a point where we're actually going to do more...
So emails, tweets.
Fun stuff. No, I was thinking more fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And emails and tweets.
Oh, yeah. when
so if you do have any suggestions...
Yeah.
You can email us at wedontdostuff@gmail.com or you can tweet us at wedontdostuff.
Yeah. So I'm independent.
And I'm Jazz Tuna McCartney, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.